Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? Episode 130. We reached the milestone. What now, Lily?
I don't know, but it's also my birthday tomorrow, so this can be my birthday episode.
Oh my God, that's very exciting. Confetti, hit it, you in the future. Happy birthday, Lily.
Thanks.
You are gonna turn 34, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
No, that's a beautiful age. Look at you coming
up. Well, it's not 35, so that's a plus.
Listen, someone's watching out there at 35 right now, Lily.
There's nothing wrong with 35. I just would like to be closer to 20. That would be nice.
I
am fine with my 30s. My body feels more like it's in its 80s sometimes, but
right, same.
I went to the grocery store to get my Truly last night because the liquor store ran out. I had a panic attack, but
unacceptable.
The lady checking me out, she like scans them and then she kind of like looks up at me to like see what age I was, and then she just looks back down and didn't ask for my ID. I
was like, oh, see, that would send me. That would send me in a spiral. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Happy birthday, Lily.
That's so exciting.
Any special plans, I ask, knowing the answer?
Yeah, I was like, no.
Well, any virtual plans?
My mom is actually coming in person.
Oh my God, slay.
Love we haven't that. Decided what we're doing, but maybe lunch, brunch, who knows?
I love that. I wish I could be closer to you and we could celebrate and get drunk and...
I know.
That's about it. But anyway, we need to get started because, guys, today's episode is a doozy in the worst way.
Could have done JoJo Siwa.
A fever dream.
Could have been my birthday present.
Girl, I'm not ready for that.
Instead, we're going to talk about something really fucked up. So I guess that works
well,
for my birthday as well.
I genuinely feel like obliged to cover Ruby and Jody and this whole crazy, demented thing because it's just like a full circle moment. Like us talking about 8 Passengers in our first ever episode to us following them, even being arrested and every step of the way. And if it wasn't something so significant, I would have been like, you know what? It's not really worth it. I originally thought the only thing that was leaked or that not leaked, like just released was their arrest footage, was them being arrested and interviewed. But when I saw everything that has come out, including the most insane audio of Kevin Frankie telling all about everything that happened, I was like, we have to cover that because this fills in any gap we had. We now know everything. Like, there is nothing that is a secret anymore.
I've watched the arrests. I've seen, like, the stuff with the daughter. I've seen even Kevin getting, like, basically not interrogated, but, like, talked to by the cops when they're revealing everything that happened. And then Jesse starts texting me this morning about this other Kevin audio, and I have no idea what she's talking about. She said that I'm in for a wild ride, so.
It's insane. So it is just audio. I don't know if he knew it was being recorded. I can't imagine that he ever thought that people were going to listen to it because it does sound like someone sets down a phone or something. I have no idea. But it doesn't clear anything up because it's very clear that this entire group of people, not the kids, obviously, but the entire group of adults surrounding the situation are so deeply entranced and almost just like hypnotized by their religion and their cult that they feel justified and they felt justified in what they did to those kids. And it's just really, really sick. But if you don't know what we're talking about at all, we'll link down below all of our 8 Passenger coverage because 8 Passengers was a family channel run by Ruby Frankie and her husband Kevin Frankie, and they have 6 children, and they showed every aspect of their life, and they were one of the most popular family channels. They weren't just a family channel, they were highly popular, and her sisters are still vlogging till this day, doing a family vlog with their kids in it, which I got a bad feeling about that, girl.
Well, and the reason we first covered them was not because we, like, loved their family channel.
Things
definitely took a turn. The tides had shifted at one point when people were like, what is going on in this house? Because they had, like, really strict parenting. I don't even know what examples to go over, and we don't really have time because we have to listen to all the other stuff. The big example I feel like I always go back to is that she, her 5-year-old, like, forgot to pack lunch because apparently it's her responsibility as a 5-year-old to pack her lunch.
I just got a text message from Eve's teacher, and she said that Eve did not pack a lunch today, and can I bring a lunch over to the school? This happens quite often when you're raising children, because I know that her teacher is uncomfortable with her being hungry and not having a lunch, and it would ease her discomfort if I came to the school with a lunch. But I responded and just said, Eve is responsible for making her lunches in the morning, and she actually told me she did pack a lunch. So the natural outcome is she's just going to need to be hungry. And hopefully hopefully nobody gives her food and nobody steps in and gives her a lunch.
And when the teacher would tell the mom, Eve doesn't have a lunch, she said that, good, because now maybe she'll learn to pack it herself, because that's what she's supposed to
be doing. Yeah, like
she
needs to feel hunger to understand the consequence of that. She's 5 years old, so.
Yeah, she said, hopefully the other kids don't give her any food. That was an actual
quote.
Yeah,
and people always had, like, just a feeling about her, obviously, because she displayed those types of parenting tactics, but then...
But nowhere even close to where it has come. Like, every single time we find out new information about her, I'm blown away, because it is 10 times worse than we ever thought it was. Yeah. And it was already bad.
Well, and then we also covered the transition from the Family Channel, because that's what we originally talked about when we first started this podcast. Then we switched over to her starting Connections with Jody. Well, she didn't start Connections, she joined Connections. Connections was already Jody's.
Well, first it was Moms of Truth, the Facebook group.
Yeah, and then Kevin Franke actually was in there, and I'm like, bitch, why are you here? You're not a mom. They basically were focusing on living in truth and this very culty speak, and we talked about it. We had a whole episode on it, just talking and reading through the Facebook posts and basically saying, how are people paying for this, number one? And number two, why is this a thing that multiple people are participating in? Like, are people really taking advice from these people? Which, now looking back, is even more terrifying that people were taking advice from them.
100%. I'm still concerned, like, how many people were? Also unimportant, but one of my biggest problems is Connections, which they're very, like, modest, like, nothing sexual, blah, blah. But then Connections is spelled with an X, and it very much sounds like
it was very suggestive, so one could
say. That was an interesting choice. Yeah,
I think that was intentional, but
just
whatever.
The X.
So I really want to get into the crazy stuff and what's happening right now and explain everything. So this is going to be like your one-stop shop. This is the official update of Ruby and Jody, her arrest footage, everything that we have. I do want to know, we are absolutely not showing any videos of the children. There was like Ring photos or Ring videos put out where you see the kids walking.
I didn't like this.
And you see the kids in the closet from body cam footage. I'm not showing any of that shit. Like, there's no need. I don't need to see that, and I don't want anyone else to see that. I'm not sure why they actually put that out. I know the kids' faces are blurred, but I'm like, ugh.
I know they blurred. Yeah, I was gonna say they blurred them, but it's still hard to watch.
We also do have to correct something really quick, because something we had said was not true. I believe that you had done some like diving into the police calls, was that Jody didn't have a safe in her home. Like a safe room.
I saw that too. I was like, she does.
So she actually did. And it was confusing because of the ways that the police calls were lined up. And some people were like, yes, there is a like a panic room, basically.
It sounded like two calls were like back to back and that they like weren't the same situation. But apparently they were. And it's like a full on like, what do they call those doors?
Well, like a safe door. I don't know. It's like basically indestructible. It's like a little panic
room.
Like
a vaulted.
But it's like a prison cell when you go in there. There's a little bed and a little refrigerator and like some cabinets, I think.
Yeah.
And I absolutely believe they kept children in there.
Also, this was a 10,000 square foot house, and the brother and sister that escaped eventually hadn't seen each other in a month.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's insane.
They were living in the same house.
So this is obviously super fucked and trigger warning for all sorts of things. I, again, am not showing anything of the kids. We're not going to get super into depth. There was a ton of journal entries of Ruby's that were released that were very, very detailed in the abuse that...
Disturbing.
I mean, it was just something else. And I have no interest in reading those to you guys. It's just something that it's very detailed in their abuse.
The abuse was fucked up and all of it was bad. So I feel like we don't really need to go into detail about like why it was bad.
Yeah. So let's stick to Ruby and Jody and how weird they fucking are, because that I can talk about. All right. Yeah. Oh, Kevin, you're not getting off the hook, buddy. Not on this show. God, there's so many places to go with this. Do you want to start with when they were arrested? The footage of them?
Sure.
Okay. So Jody is an interesting one. Ruby's is weird, but Jody's is interesting because she was already on the phone with her lawyer by the time they got there.
I talked to Lisa about this, and she was like, she knew they were coming or something.
She knew.
Or she like saw that he was missing and then like knew that they would be coming after that.
One thing that I remember from the original story when the son had escaped was that someone that picked up or had some of the kids already and had to take them back to the house was Pam Botchter.
Yeah, what the fuck happened to her?
Oh, she's very much involved in this story and she is just as much in it as them. But she was someone that had the children. So like, I'm wondering if maybe Pam got tipped off and then she told Jody, like somebody told Jody something because she was prepared. She was on the phone, quote unquote, with her lawyer when they arrived. She lives in like a fucking compound. Like, what is this?
She also might have security footage. I feel like she could have called him like right when.
Maybe. Right when they're coming up right now. Yeah. Get her ass.
I wish they would have tackled her. I know it might be against law, but I just wish they would have just run in and tackled her.
They choose to do that a lot, even if it's against the law, so.
That's true. You're right.
Police officers, open
up! Cody, we're here. Trick or treat. Yeah, she could have just, she might have just seen.
Open the door! Jody, I need you to step out.
I have my turn.
That's great. Step out of the house.
That's great.
Step out of the house.
Come on.
Step out of the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, too bad, baby.
Wait a minute, how do you come to my house?
Right there.
They come into my house.
So have a seat right there.
Do you have a search warrant?
Have a seat right there.
They don't need one, bitch.
I'll explain everything after. Have a seat right there.
Do you have a search warrant, sir?
Control 12X11, can you hold the air? We're searching the house.
I can tell you what's in the house.
Okay. Just have a seat right there for me.
Shut up.
Do you have a search warrant?
We'll explain it after this.
You can't just come into my house without a search warrant.
We'll explain everything after this, ma'am.
Can you imagine the level of abuse they've put these children through? She knows.
I can tell you what's in the house.
What? And just be like, do you have a search warrant? Ma'am, a child escaped asking for water and had duct tape. Like, get the fuck out of here. But it is, you know, strangely comforting to see her in such fear, I must say. And then this is her, I guess, sitting down with officers originally.
You married?
Where'd you move from?
Utah County.
And how long were you up there for?
I'm a little nervous.
To be honest with you, if I was sitting over there, I'd be a little nervous too. So don't worry about it. We're just here to talk, to get your side. And right now we're just asking you just typical questions, like how long you lived here, that kind of thing.
I've watched too many detective movies.
How are you?
Which one's your favorite?
Okay, well, weird. But one thing...
They want to get them talking. They don't want them to, like, invoke their right to have a lawyer.
Yeah, which is why it's so interesting to see her and Ruby juxtaposed. Because when you know everything you know about Jody, she is the main piece that keeps everyone moving and, like, wants to talk to people. She wants to get people in on her own shit. So it makes sense that she would talk. And then look at Ruby now when she got arrested. I mean, the complete opposite. And also just look at her eyes. She's fucking terrifying.
She almost has this, like, weird, like, kind of smirk on her face at all times.
She has a very blank stare.
I have an opportunity to talk to your husband and kind of worried about your circumstances and obviously your children as well.
Right, step up, please. Thank you. Go and face that officer. Put your hands on top of your head, please. Analyze your fingers. Thank you.
Make sure I want to let you know what criminal charge is for, so you're under arrest. It's going to be 2 counts, second-degree felony of child abuse or neglect, okay? Do you understand that or no?
To just stay still.
Are you okay? I'm wondering if there's, like, a medical clearance that needs to, like, do you need medical attention before you go to the jail? No. Okay.
She just mutters no, but, like, that's the only word she says. They continue to be like, do you understand this? And she just stops answering.
See, in this, I do understand why, I mean, I don't understand why you would be in this position to begin with, but anytime you're arrested, you're not supposed to talk to them. Like,
yeah.
You're supposed to be like, no, I want my lawyer immediately because they'll get you to say stuff that'll fuck you over later. So I get it, but, like, that doesn't need to apply to, like, how old are you and, like, what's your name?
Like, do you understand the charges? You could say, yes, I understand exactly what you're saying. Like, whatever. Anyway, this is her face. Just look, I mean, obviously, if you're listening, just imagine someone looking fucking evil. Like, that's all I can say when I look at her. She gives me this eerie, dark feeling. Look at her fucking expression.
It's yours if you want it. We'll say that. How's that?
We also have snacks if you need anything to eat. So I know I introduced myself to you earlier, but my name is Detective Bates, and this is Sergeant Tomer.
She doesn't say a word. She literally stays quiet.
And I'm telling you, she has the slightest little smile.
I can wait all day, so it's up to you if you want to talk to us about what's going on.
She keeps looking over to. Is it to the other cop? Talking to one of us?
The whole thing, she just stays quiet. So that's interesting. And you know where she doesn't stay quiet? Jail calls. Did she know those were recorded? I don't know.
Okay, do they ever? Because I'm so confused why people spill the beans so much on jail phone calls.
Well, think about it, because like everything is recorded, isn't it? So like, who the fuck are you going to talk to? When are you going to be able to speak freely and candidly? Never.
So your lawyer, when your lawyer comes, you can be in a room that's not recorded. Why the fuck would you be admitting stuff like...
That's true. And then they spoke to Kevin, which, interesting.
This made my blood boil. This is his reaction to finding out that his kid just ran away and was begging for food and water, and then they found duct tape and stuff on. Like, this is his initial reaction.
He had duct tape on his extremities, on his hands, on his ankles, and those were covering rope burns that were used to tie him down. We received a phone call from 911. A 12 to 13 year old boy was knocking on doors in the neighborhood asking for food and water, that he was severely emaciated, that he had...
What is emaciated?
Skin. Jesus, swollen. That... you like, were a professor. Thank you.
Not enough water to sustain life. Take a second.
Which is key to note there. He doesn't know what emaciated means, which is absurd to me. But also, they explain then what it means. So it's not like this was like there was an accident and one of the kids is injured from like a singular thing. This is like your kid was starved and deprived of like basic life necessities. So this didn't take place over like a day. This took place over a long period
of time.
And
I just so really, really want you guys to keep this in your memory for when we go to Kevin's audio, where he discusses how much he understood about Jody and Ruby's just demented shit. Before he left them for a year.
Yeah, because he acts like he's just shocked and this is just such new information. Yeah. Which, just the way he reacts, though, it's like he doesn't seem concerned about the kids.
My dad, specifically, when anything has ever happened with us, his worry is so all-consuming that, like, he'll literally, like, throw up. Like of worry. Like, legitimately vomits. Parents get... They're not supposed to act like this. Like, I understand they're shocked. They're doing people act differently. No, you knew that this was coming. Like, I don't know that he knew the extent of it, but he turned his eye to this and is not at all shocked that it's happening.
He knew it was not normal behavior.
Oh, 100%. But
then, just here, I like what we're about to watch. It's like, listen to how he reacts to like what his wife is doing. But then also, like, he gives her so much more of a reaction than he does the kids.
And think about what I just said. That's the condition of your son. Your son was taken to the hospital. A warrant has been applied and granted by the Department of Child and Family Services. Would you condone that behavior?
Would I condone that behavior?
That's my job. My job is to find out your knowledge of the treatment of these
based
precious
on your
children.
No. But again, I don't know the details or I don't know what's going on, but as you describe that, that sounds
horrible. Horrible. Disgusting. No human being should be treated like that.
Okay.
That's my thoughts. But again, we might be different on that.
Like, he just told you your kid was emaciated, and the cop sounds more outraged than Kevin does. And Kevin literally goes, well, yeah, that sounds horrible, but then again, I don't know what the story... What
is Kevin finding out that, like, the local squirrel got run over by a car? Like, he's not giving my fucking child was a... Like, he almost...
And he's already trying to justify it.
He pisses me off. You're gonna see very soon, I promise, how obsessed he is with Ruby and just how much he permitted to happen in the name of his marriage. And from what I've heard of the Mormon church, because that is what they are, considered Mormon, but they're obviously way more in their separate little cult, whatever they've created. What I've gathered from that is that the wife does come before the children. Like, that is what they believe. And it's very evident in all his behavior that he absolutely values Ruby more than his children. And it shows also, like, he could divorce her. He can leave her now. He can pretend that he's not for everything that happened. But in everything that he's fucking done, it has always put Ruby first and always given her an out. And now we're gonna watch, like, a call that he had with Ruby after. And he was still talking to her. Once he found out what they did, I mean, he was still talking to her.
Literally, in this interview that we just stopped, just cut off, the longer clips of that show him going something about the kids, but not anything that, like, emotional. And then he goes, like, I love my wife.
I trust her.
But Rudy, you wanted to travel down with me, so.
And not without legal representation.
Yeah, all right, I get it.
But I love my wife, and I trust my wife.
Well, you just found out that she literally allowed your kid to end up in duct tape, like tied to the ground. So what do you mean? And then he says, I trust my wife multiple times.
I actually think that's in this clip right here where he explains why he hasn't seen them in a year.
Well, I want to pick up my kids.
So not going to happen.
Living with you or?
No, I haven't seen them for over a year.
Any Which is them? Already concerning.
No, none of them.
For a year.
Over a year. Okay. I've been in a separation.
From who?
From my wife and family.
What's your wife's name?
Ruby. Ruby.
Pause one second. You get separations from your partner, not your family. That's not a thing. You can't file for separation from your kids.
Well, and what kind of thing? I'm in a separation?
Oh, he explains it in his audio. Oh, girl, you're going to love it. It's,
I was going to say, that sounds like he's in a timeout.
He is. Oh my God, that is so spot on.
Well, I know, because at one point his lawyer had said that the lawyer did a whole interview. I think we watched it on here. That basically Ruby said the only way to save their marriage is for him to leave. And Correct. Then she'll let him know when he can come back, but to not reach out to the kids. And we said that that is insane because it's like, how are you just going to be like, okay, bye.
Well, now we have the whole lead up to it and it is insane, like crazy.
When was the last time you saw Ruby?
The 18th
of
this month. We met to, she requested me to sign over vehicles, or the titles to the vehicle that she drives that were all in my name. The day that I moved out, July 24th, 2022.
Who lives in that home with your children?
To be honest, I don't know.
Jesus.
I know that she's there with.
Also, that's approaching 2 years.
Children and our two older children have moved out. Like I said, I don't, nothing is going on. So, their lives or anything going on.
How did you find out that you needed to come here to 55 North Main Street?
I received a message that I needed to come pick up my kids from the police department in Highlands.
And did you ever try to reach out to the kids, drop by the home, or
no.
Was there?
I honored the no separation boundary that we agreed to.
So what was your separation?
Excuse me.
Did you have a no contact order in place?
Order? No, this was between my wife and I.
So what did Ruby ask of you when you separated?
What did she ask of me?
Did she ask you not to contact the kids?
Ruby invited me to leave the home.
What?
Being invited to leave the home is just being asked to leave, motherfucker. Like, being what are you talking about?
The home is insane. And he also acted like appalled that they just asked, like, what did she tell you had to do? Tell me I had to do. What? Like, yeah, you just said that you weren't allowed to. What?
Does this look like a man who just found out his children have gone through the egregious abuse that they went through?
Then again, he doesn't know what emaciated means, so.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
While I thought about the choices that I've made in my life and the way that I've treated her.
Okay.
And so I left. The reasons are because of ways that I treated my wife.
Yep, we got that.
And some of my own addictions that I was working through and seeking help on with pornography. I've made some wonderful progress. Jody and Ruby have a close relationship, and Jody saw the need for me to get help.
Okay. When he was interviewed first, which Interestingly enough, he says he hasn't seen his kid in over a year, but he saw Ruby recently that month because she wanted him to sign over things. When he is doing this interview, he is absolutely still in fully on both living Jody, Ruby, living in truth. They know what they're doing. They're living by God. I'm just trying to like give them space. And I do genuinely believe that situation was so fucked that he did genuinely believe that. I don't think that it's not at his own fault. Like, I think he has a lot of fault here, and I think he needed to see through all this bullshit, and he owed his kids that much, and I do think that he failed on their part, and it could have cost them their life. But I do think to a certain extent he was completely just like
brainwashed, drinking the Kool-Aid. I just don't understand how Jody is able to have that effect on people.
Oh, you have no idea. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I have Jody and Ruby's jail prison calls, like with other people, to give kind of perspective on everything. But I really wanna jump to Kevin's audio because it really does give an insight to everything that happened. And I think that's the most important thing, to understand how does this happen and the reality of extremism in religion specifically, but in other, you know, departments as well, where it just can be so dangerous and it just failed these kids so horribly. So yeah, this is audio only, and I tried to enhance it a little bit. Hopefully we can hear it, because again, it was like filmed with a potato. So the first thing that he talks about is the journals, and he asks specifically if they found the pen papers, is what he calls them, I believe. And his description of the journals is something. And I want to say really quickly, I edited this for brevity, I swear. There's no like context missing, but the ums and the pauses and the lulls in the conversation, it was a lot. So I needed to edit it together just for your listening pleasure.
Into your relationship, your lives. So if you kind of just want to walk us through that.
I'll ask first, have you found the pen papers?
The pen papers. So we found quite a bit of different journals.
We believe they're on the computer. Because my understanding was we had purchased as a Christmas present for Jody in 2021 a leather folder, and Ruby wrote detailed notes of everything, all interactions with Jody and Pam Botcher from August 2021 until I don't know when.
And you're saying is it like a satchel looking leather bit, or is it more like a binder?
No, it's like I don't even know what to call it. It's
flat.
Because we do have Ruby's journal, which is from those dates that you mentioned.
These things are going to be so. She wouldn't write. The stuff she wrote in the pen paper, she would not write in her journal. The stuff she wrote in the pen papers was not intended to be read by anybody until God would decree them to be written as scripture for the whole world to read.
Okay.
So it described all of the visions and trances and everything that Jody and Ruby went into.
How thick would you say it was?
It was like 3 inches thick or so. It's something Jody would not want found.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't want to destroy it.
Decree from God to...
Yeah. This is not even... This is just the fucking beginning.
She's writing her own like 10 commandments over here.
Okay, everyone, I think we could agree we need a break, a quick palate cleanser, if you will. So let's quickly thank today's sponsor of this podcast, and that's Olive & June.
If you're unfamiliar, Olive & June is the easiest way to get salon-worthy nails at home.
I know I usually get my nails done. I have acrylics. Today, it's kind of a sad time. I broke my nail. I'm literally like gushing blood, but we're not going to talk about that. I do, however, like to paint my toes at home always, and no, you nasties, I am not showing you my toes, but I will show you the color I have on my toes. It's pink sands.
Well, luckily, I don't ever go to get my nails done. And you might have noticed I wore nail polish last week too, because I was trying it out. And I haven't worn nail polish in so long. I kind of just like forgot that's a thing to do.
One thing that I love about Olive & June is it makes it really easy, especially if someone just wants to get everything all at once, a whole kit. They have so many different systems. They have the mani system, the pedi system, the complete system, and all of them are designed to give you everything you need to get a perfect manicure, pedicure, everything at home.
They also have this handy dandy little tool. This is for painting your left hand
or your non-dominant hand in general.
Sorry, yes. So this is what the bottle looks like, and then you just take off the top, put this on there, and then it gives you like something to hold on to while you're doing. I don't want to spill this over, but it gives you something to hold on to while you're doing your other hand. And I feel like it kind of like absorbs any shaking. So it's like easier to handle. It's amazing. Highly recommend.
And if you guys also want to try out Olive & June, you can go to oliveandjune.com/DWKT and get 20% off of your first system, which is a great deal.
That's OliveAndJune. So it's like olives that I've never tried, and then June, like the month.
And again, that's for 20% off of your first system. So thank you so much to Olive & June for sponsoring this episode. So when I heard visions and like she writes down the visions, I was like, what are they talking about? But I mean, it makes sense, right? Like when you see how entrenched in this they were, that they would be so deluded to think that they were literally writing maybe the next Bible or something. Like it's so sick.
That's the crazy thing is it seems like they did think that they were doing something positive, but right? Like, yeah, how sick do you have to be to think that when you are literally abusing the fuck out of your kids?
It gets worse when you realize how many more adults are not only involved but free in the world right now. He goes on to say that if they want to kind of like put Pam Botcher in with all of this, that they need to find those pen papers because she is heavily involved in it as well.
Pen paper.
That's what Ruby called them, allegedly.
That's so weird.
And this is such a disturbing audio too, because it's like he snapped out of the whatever thing he was in when he was in that first interview. And I don't know if it's just because he found out he wasn't going to be arrested and he's like, oh, I can tell them. Like, I don't know how cognizant he was in that first interview or this interview or like, what's now conniving he's an open and book. Not. Yeah, now he's just telling everything.
Ruby had a very close friend named Paige Hannah, who lives in Mapleton, who was a massive fan of Connections and Joey Hildebrandt. And in fact, the Hannahs are on the cover of their book, if you know, you've probably seen them. And so Ruby started to speak with Jody towards the end of 2018, early 2019.
So that's the Hannahs, right? You got to remember the Hannahs. I know this is a lot. It's convoluted, but you got to remember the fucking Hannahs because they're wrapped in here. But it was someone that was a fan of Connections who then got really wrapped up, and it gets crazier. Oh, God. I don't. I'm sorry for this ride, but it's a lot.
It got strange around the fall of 2020. The Hannahs were trying to convince and bring Ruby into this organization called Connections, and that particularly were focused on things like lust versus love and healthy marriages, happier marriages, happier relationships.
And transphobia and homophobia and what else? Like just absolute like running a fucking muck with your children and just basically denying them of all privacy. I mean, we remember the Facebook posts.
They would always say that, like, if your kid has a diary, well, it's in your house. You're entitled to read it. You like, they shouldn't even have doors, basically.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised that Kevin is giving that description of Connections because he was a part of it. He was on the Moms of Truth Facebook being like, yeah, your kids don't deserve shit.
He was a mom of truth. Yeah, correct.
He was.
I got challenged to sit down and have a vulnerable conversation with my wife and ask her how my lustful choices have affected her. And, you know, to me, that was like a loaded question. I thought, you know, I still didn't see what I had done or anything that would constitute any form of like abuse or anything like that. But I did. I took the challenge and I sat down for 2 hours. Ruby very emotionally just shared how she felt in our marriage and how the things that I, over 20 years of marriage, you know, asking for sex as a husband frequently or asking her to wear lingerie or things like that, how that made her feel.
Okay, so that right there is the extent in this entire audio of what he actually talks about what he did. Because remember in the beginning, he's like, you know, I had addictions and I needed to like basically leave to like repent for what I did, essentially. This is what he did. So she complained. He asked her to wear lingerie, which is obviously everybody has different boundaries. I'm not here to be like, whatever. But Ruby also has an issue with her daughter dancing to apple bottom jeans. So, I mean, you know, it's just she's a lot.
The bar is low.
So like I could see Ruby being offended that he would ask her to put on lingerie at all. And then also I have heard that the Mormon religion, again, sex is kind of like procreation. Like sex is not this like, hey, it's not like for pleasure, we have different.
Yeah.
Like, if we have different interests, too bad. Like, we are here to make children and that's it. So apparently he was asking for sex a lot.
I remember that being a thing that has been brought up before.
If someone feels uncomfortable, yeah, voice it. But again, it's Ruby. And I just feel like she just, and we find out very soon, they just stopped having sex altogether. And she was just like happy with that. Like, she just didn't want to have sex with him, which, like, whatever, fair enough. I mean, after you have freaking six kids, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I just felt so weird about this, where I was like, okay, so his addiction was wanting to have sex with his wife. That's interesting.
Well, that's, I don't remember where, like, who would have said it, but I definitely remember it being like, he was a very, like, sexual person and she at least wasn't anymore.
And I also feel like spouses can obviously, like, you can tell no to your partner at any point. Like, I'm not saying, like, you're married, like, you don't want to have sex with your partner, but it's not uncommon to want to be intimate with your spouse. So, like, him just wanting to have sex with her, yeah, that shouldn't necessarily be a problem, especially they have six kids. They've definitely done it before. Like, it's interesting to me if she is, like, all of a sudden, maybe she felt like she was asexual or something. I feel like it has more to do with the religion and the disassociation of life in general. But, like, if she did, that's not a problem. But, like, he's not an addict. So he goes on to talk about how they literally had conferences for connections. Like, get up on a stage, it's a whole thing. There's an audience, which is absolutely bizarre. And they did, like, tours and shit. Like, they would actually go to multiple places.
They're flat earthers, too, so.
Right. He describes that during connections, he was put through this 3-month challenge. Jody gave him a lot of challenges. Because remember, at the head of all of this is Jody Hildebrandt. She is the kingpin. God, what is she doing in prison? Because remember, I said she's probably starting, like, 7 cults. But, like, seriously, she's
definitely already operating a drug ring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jody was just the head of everything. So she had these men's groups that Ruby convinced Kevin to be in, and they said, okay, just give us 3 months. So he did those men's groups, and they would attend these conferences. And while they were at the conferences, they weren't set to actually speak at the conferences, but Ruby would look at him and be like, oh, they actually want us to get on stage. And he'd be like, oh, okay. And so he'd get on stage and be like, yeah, it's amazing, and whatever. That's how he describes it, right? Like, he wasn't ready to make those claims or whatever, but he did, just to appease everybody. And so he was at one of the conferences, and this is when just shit just gets absolutely just, what realm are we in?
If everything continued like that until March of 2021, when after a conference, all the like the inner circle, all the people who were being trained as, you know, mental fitness coaches and stuff.
Coaches.
So that was Ruby and a bunch of other people and their spouses. We went out to, like, a dinner afterwards, and that's where Jody really opened up to the women in a private conversation that she believed she was being tormented and haunted by shadow figures every night. That was spooky. You know, I don't know exactly what happened, but the Hannahs do. All I know is at some point, within a couple days of that, in that month of March, the Hannahs drove down from Mapleton and picked Jody up and brought her back to their home in Mapleton. And she lived for 6 weeks in that home in Mapleton. According to Jody, she was held against her will for 6 weeks and was kidnapped, and she escaped and got out. According to the Hannahs, after 6 weeks of Jody stabbing herself with forks and knives, herself and wanting to commit suicide and trying to seduce the husband of the family, they kicked her out.
Lily, when I told you you weren't ready, I mean, I saw this and I just about dropped a fucking turd. What are you talking about?
Stabbed herself with forks and not. What,
honestly, I could see it. I mean, I'm not even.
Honestly, the most surprising is that she tried to seduce the husband, if I'm being real.
I would say it's not funny, but you know what? When you do this shit to kids, there's no boundaries on you, bitch. You are out in my book. Okay, so that was a lot.
Oh my.
There's more.
Jesus.
When he says that she was haunted by the shadow demon or whatever.
Yeah, I forgot about that already.
Oh, well, that's just the beginning. Because Kevin claims to actually witness himself the possessions of Jody.
So we went down to Jody's house in May of 2021. That was the first time I'd ever been there. And it blew my mind, as I'm sure you have walked in there and gone, how does a therapist look like this? Like, doesn't really make sense to me. I'm a smart guy. I'm an engineer. I've designed and helped build some really big stuff. I'm a college professor.
With bad reviews.
Rate my professor.
I explained some of the stuff that happened while we were there. Like crashes in the basement while we were talking upstairs. And plates, like, in the kitchen just flying off by themselves, like, full speed, smashing on the wall and falling to the floor, like, by themselves. I can't explain it, but I saw it with my own eyes, and I don't have any way to explain it other than there's some crazy shit going on.
Just correct me if I'm wrong. That's the place he left his children in for a year, correct? Just want to be sure that that's accurate. The same fucking place I'm thinking of. But don't worry, it doesn't stop there. Ruby suggested, after a while, hey, why doesn't Jody come to our house? You know, she needs help. Nobody wants to help her. Like, we are responsible. She even told him, I believe, think of our image. Like, how bad would it look if Jody goes down? Because remember, Jody's high up in the Mormon church as well. He explains that the bishop of the church, I don't know how it works, but apparently there's a bishop. And the bishop would come over every single night for about 4 hours, he said, or was it 4 hours? A couple hours, at least, to help Jody expel these shadow demons or whatever the fuck.
What?
And that wasn't working. And so the bishop told Ruby, I'm done. Like, I can't get rid of them. And I don't know what to tell you.
She's just batshit crazy.
Perhaps, yes. One could, you know, maybe think that. But they couldn't get rid of it. So they came to Ruby, and Ruby was like, think of how bad it will look because Jody's like the therapist of the church and all that stuff. We have to help her. Nobody's willing to help her, and we have to do it. So this was his initial reaction to having Jody possibly come to his house.
And I was like, oh, hell no. I don't want this in my house. But I was beaten over the head with it. Like, that's really insensitive. You know, she's done so much to help our family. And
has she?
You're being selfish, and she has needs, and come on, like, it won't be for long. And so I relented, and I was like, okay, actually, you know, this could kind of be fun. Let's just make it fun, and we'll, like, she needs a
vacation.
What
sleepover are you fucking talking about?
Go take drives up the canyon and stuff like that. And it turned into just like crazy house.
Really?
The moment she showed up in my house, just the weirdest crap started happening. Lights turning on and off, sounds of people walking in walls, and like sounds like footprints going up walls and across the ceiling. And like, it was weird, and I hated it. And I became the resident exorcist. That was the title I came up with myself. I thought it was kind of funny. But it was my job to, like, go and give her blessings whenever she started to, like...
Jody needs another exorcism.
And, which started to be a lot. And Ruby would go up and check on her. It started, like, every 4 hours at night, and then it moved every 2 hours at night, then it moved every hour at night. And then at some point, Ruby said, you know what, I'm just going to start sleeping in there.
Okay. Stop it.
This is not funny, but because everybody's always like kind of assumed they might be lovers, it got me, and I was like, oh my God, I can't. I actually can't deal with that. My thing is, what is fucking Jody? A newborn baby? I have to check on her every hour? Like, what is happening? Like,
well, that's what is she doing? World? Like,
but it's such a slow and like also very fast progression of like, oh, Jody's like our friend and our therapist. I'm in her men's group, to like, she's living with us. She's demon possessed. We have to check on her every hour. It's like such a crazy, like, I cannot imagine living in this reality. It's insane.
And then he left his kids with her?
Oh yeah, he sure does.
Ruby said, you know what? I'm just going to start sleeping in there. And if I need you, I'll come down and get you. I'm like, that's kind of weird, but okay. And that was that. They started sleeping in the same bed.
So not just sharing a room. They literally were sleeping. Like, you're fucking kidding.
At least September, where she believed that she was going to heaven and seeing God and Jesus and talking with them. And she would get together with Pam Botcher. Ruby, Pam, and Jody would threesomes. Get together and do these interventions. That's what they call them. And so they'd just go up and lock themselves in a room for 4 or 5 hours. And then they'd come out, and they'd all just be on cloud nine, and Ruby would share with
me. Like, stop it! Looking at it in the lesbian theory is very funny. I normally don't think it's funny to out people or speculate on sexuality, but that is kind of hilarious.
No, at this point, I'm fully convinced that Jody was, like, planting, like, sound makers across the house to, like, freak Kevin out so they could have this whole narrative come into play. This is insane.
Pam and Ruby and Jody would leave the room, and they were all, like, suddenly super happy and relaxed, and it's like, girl. So basically what they would say is that they were having these like visions and they were like figuring life out, and they just like had all these visions and they knew what was happening and what to tell God, and it was just all this crazy shit.
It was girls only though.
This is not fun. Oh my God. I'm not me having the giggles in the most inappropriate situation.
I almost just started crying. I was laughing so hard.
Okay. You know what it is though? Like, I would believe the like, okay, they were just like cheating on him and he's an idiot thing if they hadn't done all the abuse to the kids in the name of quote unquote God. Like, it seems like their delusion was there. It's funny to theorize it because it makes light of a situation that's so unfathomably dark. But like, no, they definitely were doing some sort of like seance or some shit up there. I don't know what the fuck they thought, but this is how they felt when they came down.
I had this amazing vision and I wrote it and recorded it all down. And we have a work to do from God, and you're part of it, and the bishop's part of it, and we're all part of bringing all this stuff to the world.
The start of the end for Kevin being allowed to exist around them, basically, was they were doing one of their little sessions upstairs. And when that happened, no children were allowed to kind of like meddle with that.
So he was the babysitter.
So Chad was outside with his friends, and Kevin thought that the little seance was done upstairs, but it was not. And so he allowed Chad and his friends to be outside and be kids and do whatever. They were making, I guess, noise. And when that happened, that was the end for Kevin. That was his, you need to get the fuck out of this house. We're getting separated. You're done. It was a no tolerance. You allowed the kids to exist and make noise during our coming to Jesus or God or whatever situation, which obviously I believe is whatever the opposite of God is. Like, the devil was in the room with them. If there is a devil, like, that's fucking crazy to me. But you interrupt with that, you're done.
It was hard. Basically, there were all these rules now placed on me. Like, I could leave when I wanted, but I couldn't come back until Ruby gave me permission. I couldn't come into the kitchen to eat until Ruby gave me permission. And the upstairs where Jody roamed was completely off
limits. Now you know how your kids felt.
So that's how he explains, like, once he fucked up with the whole Chad situation, they told him, basically, you're on severe probation. You can exist here on very, very limited circumstances.
I thought it was crazy. Like, I thought it was just batshit crazy. Like, Ruby, you have a reputation. You have a multi-million dollar business. You have a brand. And you were just giving it away. She wanted to legally, like, work with Jody's attorney to basically give Jody 8 passengers.
Hadn't they deleted the channel?
I'm like, what is it going to switch to? It's like when people, we've talked about this before, people sell their YouTube channels and everyone's like, who are you?
Yeah, no, that's not sustainable. But also, hadn't they deleted it?
No, I don't think they had. Not at that point. So Jody was just going to be the new face. Hi, it's me, Jody. Everyone unsubscribes. Like, boo, this guy stinks. This is kind of a sad side part of it, but there was a bag of like $85,000 found in Jody's house, and she wiped... Ruby helped her wipe all of the kids' savings clean and like everything that they had, the joint accounts, anything that she had with Kevin, and all of the kids' savings were wiped and given to Jody. And it was just like saved in cash in a bag, like very fucking.
So that's how she was paying for her compound?
I think that manipulating the fuck, extorting the fuck, and like just outright abusing people is how she got her money, not from being a random Mormon therapist.
No, but that's what's crazy too, is like, guys, if you hear my dog barking in the background at any point, no, you I'm don't. Sorry. He's out of control.
Well, they hear my kids every episode, so now they hear your kid.
When the money comes into it, that makes me think that, like, was Jody putting on an act to con all of these people, or does she really believe it?
Well, when we listen to her prison call, I promise there's not much more. I think she really believes it in some weird, deluded way. I think she not only believes it, but also has some sort of severe character situation going on. I'm not going to diagnose her, but like she also has that need for control mixed in with genuinely believing that she's like doomed to hell. Like she fears God. He goes on to say that when their YouTube partner at the time, or like their manager, whoever that was their manager at the time, found out that Jody was wanting to swoop in and get their YouTube channel and all this shit, that he kind of said, hey, this is a red flag, I don't know. And Ruby fired him on the spot. It was like, no, you're not our manager anymore. Like, we don't need a manager. Like, literally, that's how loyal and just like she would do anything on the drop of a dime for Jody.
My interactions with Jody at that point became one of Jody. I was still in the men's groups, but the dynamic changed. Instead of being like one of the top people that helped run groups and helped support, all of a sudden I felt like I got knocked to the bottom. And so once I was in separation, every week was just hell, psychological hell. And Jody was running it.
So he says basically when Jody decided it was over for him, which ironically lined up with, I think, when they started sleeping in the same fucking bed. But like she decided like, you're done. Like, I don't like you. You're not here. So she made his life a living hell, which I believe because she seems like an absolute peach. She seems great.
It seems like she probably waited until she like chipped away at their relationship enough. So then finally Ruby didn't care anymore and didn't feel like she needed him. And then Jody was like, okay, well then he's gone.
And he also describes how like the best times, or like when he felt his marriage, maybe there was hope there or something, was also like simultaneously at times where they were not intimate at all, you know, and they were just like not even really hanging out or like having good moments. But like he says that he relied on Ruby so much, like if she would say a kind word to him, that would like make his whole day, because like she was just so cold to him. And he judged their like success of the marriage on like basically if she would like talk to him that day. So like his perception of the marriage, and I do believe that Jody has done this to other people. Like I do think she's capable of something like that.
It's basically like Ruby withholding any kind of affection or love. So when he does get it, he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time we take another break.
Yeah.
Because what is going on? So let's take a moment and thank our second sponsor of this episode, because as we said last week, we're a big deal now. This episode is also sponsored by Le Levi, an award-winning hair care line that is founded by none other than Jennifer Aniston. I mean, of all people to have found a hair care line, I feel like the Rachel.
Right? It's like iconic.
She's known for her hair. Absolutely.
All of Le Levi's products are naturally derived, plant-based, and they have no silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and they're all cruelty-free and vegan, which is amazing. And honestly, if you've used sulfate-free and like free of silicone shampoos, you know that they don't lather really well. And Lily was just telling me how well these lather, and they do. And honestly, I love the smell. It's like a spa meets men's cologne. I really, really enjoyed it. And it lingered in my hair. I was like, just trying to smell it throughout the day.
I tried the In Shower Trio, which is the restorative shampoo, the restorative conditioner, and then a repair treatment that you leave in for like 5-10 minutes. So I did that while I shaved. It was very nice.
Same. Feels, oh my God, healthy. Not us both being shaven at the same time because of Lola V.
I know. So if you want to unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair, go to lolav.com. And for you guys, you get 15% off if you enter the code DWKT at checkout, and you get 15% off your whole order. And please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
And then after you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them from. Please tell them you came from our show. That would help us so much. And that's over at lolavie.com with the promo code DWKT for 15% off. Thank you so much to Lola V for sponsoring this episode. I do have to question though, you know, people get brainwashed. It's a very real thing. I mean, I did a whole like true crime thing on my channel about like the drinking the Kool-Aid thing, like the actual situation that happened.
Jim Jones.
Yeah, it's so fucked when you really look at it and see all the like innocent people, and it was way more than people think it was. It wasn't just a bunch of people drinking the Kool-Aid. But you can get people to do kind of the unthinkable by getting into their psyche that way. So it's like, I know why Kevin Frankie left, but I can't imagine a life where I would be put in a situation where I would abandon my kids. And what's crazy is like she convinced him that he was the problem because of his addictions and all that shit. The men's group he was in was an addiction group. It was an addiction for porn. an addiction for drugs, addiction to alcohol group.
Jody has a history of one, or even with her niece, like saying they were like watching porn or doing things that were bad, but they weren't. But then also she's like spread rumors about other men in the past to the church saying that they were obsessed with pornography or even gay pornography specifically.
The one that confuses me the most is Kevin, because he contradicts himself a lot. Do you see the same thing with Ruby when she was in court and she said my six little chickens? Remember when she was like, I failed you. I was like basically brainwashed. I don't know how much of that is true. I know that adults can be brainwashed. I know that, especially in the name of like religion and stuff. It can be very dangerous. Yeah. But so much so that you would almost kill. I mean, people compared Ruby a lot to Lori Vallow, who did kill her two kids. And it's like, how much can you be brainwashed as a fucking adult? I know it's possible, but enough to abandon your kids?
Well, and then that's what I was saying. Like with Kevin, once he was removed from the situation, he didn't like, for lack of a better term, have a come to Jesus moment where he's like, oh my God, I left my kids. You're so right.
It was a year. It was a year where you existed thinking you were the problem without any contact to Jody or Ruby until like very recent.
That's wild.
I don't know. I feel like he just valued Ruby more than he did the kids, and he thought that's what she wanted. And he, again, he looked at the separation as like a sentence almost. Like, I was sentenced to separation.
He thought it was ending at one point. Like, he thought he would be like welcomed back.
Oh, he absolutely did.
He would be invited back, like he was invited to leave.
The only way I would ever get back into my house was I had to get Jody's approval. If I didn't get Jody's approval, I would never get Ruby's approval. Jody had an approved list of men that I could make phone calls to, and it was basically three men. But two of those, well, no, all three of those three men were like, we don't want to do phone calls with you anymore because you're being manipulative. And I'm like, well, who told you that? Well, Jody did. And that's where I was all the way up until the last week of July, when Jody called me one day out of the blue and just said, I don't understand why you're not getting it. You're not changing. I don't get it. So I've been asking God what to do. And God told me that you need to just to have complete, what's the word they would use?
Isolation.
Solitude with God. She's like, I don't want you to come to men's group anymore. And I don't want you to do phone calls with any of the men. And I'm like, well, then who am I going to talk with? Who's going to support me? God will. You need to learn to go to God.
So he looked at his separation as his, again, sentencing of solitude.
Like on a sabbatical?
Yeah. Like she's like, well, you need to go leave me with your wife so we can cuddle in bed. What really trips me up about Kevin, though, is like, okay, you do whatever, fine. But the fucking possessions, the exorcisms, the crazy shit that you're talking about, you left your kids in that? Your young children? Yeah, two of them were on the older side. I wouldn't leave my fucking mom with that bitch. And like, again, I feel like that's why he wasn't shocked when he was told about the abuse. You don't think some crazy shit is gonna happen in the quote unquote name of God with these people? If I had gone through what he experienced with Jody, which is what he says he experienced, we don't even know if this is the full truth. Honestly, I feel like it is. Like, I feel like he's just
It's kind of absurd for him to make up. Right? I think he believes it. Yeah. But I also would not be shocked to find out that Jody acted the whole thing.
Yeah. But I just feel like to witness everything you've seen, to disappear for a year and, like you said, not have that realization and not be like, fuck, are my kids okay? Like, you've had so many months of doing what you want, of living how you want, and you didn't get it? You didn't have a thought like, hey, I need to see my kids. I remember, I think it was his lawyer or it was him saying that like he would call and it was like basically a reassurance of like, you need to stay the fuck away type of thing. Like that's what, whenever they had conversations, it was like, you need to not be with the kids. That's what's gonna be the only saving grace in this marriage. But again, that's him valuing his wife over his fucking kids. You have seen Jody be a menace and pin you against other grown men. Again, it kind of like pushes back to the police thing when she's sitting down with them. Like, she thinks she could talk out of everything. Like, she thinks she could just like charm anyone.
There's a lot of times when with like cults and cult leaders that they're super charismatic and like they have these qualities that people like want to get to know. Jody doesn't
seem like she has those.
You know what's actually pretty telling is that the kids seemed to never be swayed by Jody's persuasion.
Well, yeah, but also because I think their lives got worse immediately when she came into them. I don't think she ever tried to win them over. She knows that they have no power because the parents are in charge of them.
Actually, it's interesting that you say that because there is a part of this audio where Kevin says that Jody's main belief is that the parents need to help themselves before they could help the kids, and like we need to help the parents before they could even begin to think about that. So yeah, I guess maybe you're right. Maybe she just targets adults and
in
then
her
just
eyes,
berates
she
children.
Thinks we can do whatever we want to the kids. Why
what is her
time?
Fucking motive? What is her motive? Actually, hold on. Let me see if there's anything left because I have the police call with her motive. I don't know. She seems like she believes it. I'm so confused.
I'm just clarifying. So last time you saw the kids was when you separated that in July. Like 20. Do you have any questions for us? No, I'm just really interested in the pen papers. Like, for my own curiosity, I want to know what was going on in all of those little interventions. And
I'll look back through the photos, because...
Does that sound like a dad that just, like, I don't know.
He seems like he's still brainwashed, and he wants to know, like, what more visions did they have? Right? What am I supposed to do next?
I don't know. He gives me, just very... interesting vibes.
He should be way more concerned about the kids, and he's just not.
But anyway, let's listen to Jody's call, because this is something.
Oh God.
And I want to know who she's talking to. Is it the Hannahs? Like, it's one of those crazy bitches. Is it Pam? I think it's Pam.
Well, no, she didn't. The Hannahs kidnapped her, remember?
Oh, right. She's on bad terms with them.
Nobody wants the truth. Yeah. Nobody wants the truth. Nobody wants the truth, because these kids, you know, I told Doug, I woke up, the spirit told me, it's all the devil. I mean, you've seen him. I mean, I've known you, what, for 5 years? You've watched him come at me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exactly right, because he knows I know what he's doing. And he uses these kids. And he uses all of us as the adults, the parents, that don't hold the kids accountable. So now it's to make a kid sleep on the floor. You know, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Can't even raise your kids anymore.
So what I'm saying is you're being crucified in public opinion.
Yeah.
So your fear has to be super, super prepared. And the only way he's going to get prepared is if you push him and ride him.
Okay. I will. I'll call him today.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem really animated. He seems like, you know, the pictures, the pictures are going to destroy
I think she's talking about her lawyer. Yeah.
He didn't do that. We didn't do that. Those pictures we did not do. He did that to himself, yes. Did we put that on him?
Oh, my God.
Rubbed around and cut himself? Yes. But we didn't do that.
So, the Lord says, but first they'll lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prison.
Wow.
So then he says, and ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I want to know who she's talking to. Can we get her friend under immediate investigation? Thank you. That doesn't seem like someone who's full of shit. You know what I mean? That feels like someone who's obviously very mentally ill, but also believes her delusions deeply. I don't know. I don't think she's faking. I really don't. And I think that, like, it's so telling. And it breaks my heart to think about what these kids went through, because her saying, we didn't do that to him. Yeah, we put it on him. I think she means the robes. And he moves around and cuts himself. What?
You're not meeting his basic human needs.
No.
He's going to move around a little bit. Like, are you fucking kidding?
It does give me this eerie feeling to hear her talk, because she talks herself in circles until she can get someone. I don't know. Who are these people that are on her side that are telling her, like, yeah, the devil's been coming at you for years. Yeah, well, maybe it's because you're his fucking spawn and he just wants to be with his friend.
People that are having some kind of, like, psychotic break when they think that, like, killing their kids
is how
it's like, no, I'm setting them free, or like something like that. That is a sentiment that I feel like
I've definitely seen before.
But this has been ongoing for so long, too. She has such a long history of doing this that it's like, okay, if you went through one, like, maybe, I don't know, psychosis or something. But you've been doing this for, like, a decade, sister.
No, she seems like she's in a permanent one.
Yeah, like, girl, like, I just can't give you an out here.
Well, the thing with the kids also in the journals is it's basically Ruby complaining at some points that, like, the kids still, like, scream and, like, cry with her, but not with Jody. And it's like, well, that's because they're hoping that there's some sliver of their mom left in whatever you are. And Jody, they have no hope for.
Yeah. And, like, Ruby relays a very similar sentiment on a call to Kevin. Listen to this first sentence. It's so insane.
Adults have a really hard time understanding that children can be full of evil and what that takes to fight it. You've
seen what it takes to fight evil. It's not the person you're fighting. And it can look like something it's not. And you've been there, you know that.
They're going to be in the hospital for 3 days.
So weird.
So weird?
Not necessary.
Not necessary?
Exaggerate this.
Oh my God.
They didn't show me...
When kids are involved, adults want to look like the hero. That's why they were admitted to a hospital for 3 days.
The hero.
Yeah, they didn't show me any pictures or anything with the way they described it.
No
it
shit, Kevin.
Serious.
This is a witch hunt. The devil's been after
us. Oh, really?
Are we in the news?
It sounds like at least you're in the news. I don't know about me. I don't know what he's talking about. But.
So she started panicking about her reputation. But anyway, this is the actual call with Kevin that I was like, Jesus.
You had to put her in a chair. And it was horrible. It was torturous last night, hearing the screaming and the banging and people.
She's describing jail.
Okay, that's you know, upsetting. But the most upsetting thing is that I am completely misunderstood. That is the most horrible feeling. Like, my own family misunderstands me. They misinterpret me. And poor Jody.
Poor
Jody. They misinterpret her. They misunderstand her. She puts her neck out on the line for people, and then they manager. I mean, it is just horrendous. It's horrendous. And you know what? Every Joseph Smith, every wonderful
man of God.
God has had to be misunderstood.
Joseph Smith had sex with children and is in prison right now. You're him? He's misunderstood? That is such a deluded mentality.
Poor Jody.
Well, that's the thing, is like, this was obviously in the beginning, like more close to when she got arrested. And then we see her in court and she claimed that she was brainwashed. Like, I genuinely wonder how much understanding does she have? Does she know what she did? Genuinely? Like, does she understand the gravity of it? Does she understand that Jody's a monster and she was a monster before she met fucking Jody? Like, we have documentation.
Well, the thing is, it's like her saying that, like, adults exaggerate the kids because they want to seem like the heroes. That just shows that, like, they would have abused these kids till they died, I think.
Absolutely. I don't even think it's a think thing. I absolutely believe that. And that's why people compare her a lot to Lori Vallow, who, if you don't know her case, like, essentially she was very religious, right? But then she also was like an end of the world. Like, she thought the world was ending and it was this whole fucking disaster. And she ended up taking the lives of her two kids, and they were missing for a long time. It's just this, like, I do think that would have happened. I mean, looking at the kids, obviously we're not showing them, but like, looking at the kids, they were emaciated, Kevin. That's a word. They genuinely were not okay. They would have died. They said that the kid that escaped, her son, needed to be separated from all the other kids because he, like, essayed a bunch of people. Like, bull fucking shit. You're a liar. I feel like she felt justified in everything she did with those kids. I know we've gotten a lot of clarity. Is that the word I want to use? But, like, we've gotten a lot of understanding into their mindset, which has disturbed me more than anything else. And it just breaks my heart for those kids, because as funny as it is to, like, laugh at them, it's not actually funny, but, like, to laugh at them and their just ridiculousness and the fact that they are grown fucking adults acting like, I mean, it's just insane. But then you think of those kids and how scared they must have been looking at deluded adults, one being their mother,
who was supposed to love you, and they're just doing the absolute opposite.
And the fact that she was a family channel, this feels unreal. This feels like it needs to be a fucking Netflix documentary. Like,
I'm sure I bet you it will.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I bet you it will be. You know, it just feels like such a reassurance too of why we shouldn't support family channels and why family channels are so toxic to begin with. Because,
I mean,
think of someone.
I do think this is a bit more toxic than the average family channel.
Yeah,
which is saying a lot, obviously.
But it's so insane. And to think too, and I obviously we can't get into the P. Diddy situation, which I want to. We need to do a lot of deep diving and also just like understanding of what's happening, because I think he fled the country and this is just so fucked. But like, when I think of situations like that and I think of situations like Jody, I'm like, y'all are human beings like me? Like, do you wake up every morning and like wipe your ass? Like, do you do normal things? I don't, how do you exist?
Only if Jody said it's okay. No, but that's what scares me so much about religion and why it can be so toxic. Because for some people, it's great. They have their faith. Sure. Yeah. Live your dreams. But then it gets to this place where they put it above everything. And then they feed into, like, it's mentally ill people that feed into these illusions and then justify it all with religion, which whether they think that it's true or not, like, it's not okay. So we need to not have people be like, I'm the next coming of Jesus. I'm sorry, what?
I just can't even fathom Ruby Frankie growing 6 children in her own fucking body for 9 months of her life to abuse these children like this, to allow some rando ass woman, which again, we've said it a million times, she was already bad before Jody got there. She didn't mind if her kids starved in the name of the truth and like living in God and whatever. So the religion already got to her before everything. And I've had so many friends who are super, they have a lot of faith, I will say. Like, I would say they're super religious, but when I actually say that to them, they're like, I'm not religious. You know, because religion has a lot of connotations to it. There's a lot of people that have bad relationships with religion because of the things that people decide to do in the name of it. So I don't even want to say that. But like, how the fuck do you do that to your kids? I just don't get it.
Well, and that's what I was saying about like with the kids like still screaming and like begging for her to stop and stuff, but they didn't with Jody. That just breaks my heart because it's like they were trying to appeal to any kind of maternal instinct that might have been left and it didn't work. Like she was literally like bitching about them in her little journal.
And, you know, I do genuinely hope with like every fiber of my being that these kids can be okay from this, because just watching, I did watch the body cam footage of the daughter. I don't want to say her name, but like she was in the closet and she was there for 4 hours. It took them 4 hours to get her out because she didn't want to talk. She was too scared to eat. They offered her pizza. She was too scared.
Well, like, it's because she probably thinks like, what if they come back and they're going to punish me after
insanity. As a parent, you can fuck up in a day. You can do some shit. You can maybe like raise your voice in a way you didn't want to and whatever. You beat yourself up at the end of every fucking day. That's the truth. But this is so much more than that. That again, like the P. Diddy thing, I'm like, so y'all are like existing amongst us doing this fucking heinous shit. I almost wanted to believe that all these crazy rumors and shit was just like conspiracy theories about like people like P. Diddy or like Jody. Like, you really exist amongst us? Fuck off. Like, how? It doesn't make any sense. I'm so confused and disturbed and ultimately just really hoping these kids just move on from this. And honestly, tread lightly with your dad. I'm not saying, because genuinely, I don't believe that Kevin Frankie would do this to their kids. I think that he genuinely was so spineless in the beginning and also just prioritizing his wife. That's his duty. You know, the wife is everything and then the kids come second, that he allowed a lot of this to go on, especially even before Jody was in the picture, which is why we know he was a part of it, because he was
supportive. If he really believes that there was like possessions and like shit going on where there's like shadow fucking figures, whatever, that he might be like, well, they probably didn't do it. It was probably the spirits, which is insane.
I don't think that he would ever hurt them in the same way that Ruby and Jody hurt them, but I do think that they should
not be in this custody. Has the right kind of discernment, though, to be a protector of any children.
No, at all. The smallest vibe will come into my house or something will happen and me and Asim look like we just saw like a freaking ghost. We're like, like, we are very protective of our kids. How do you get so distant from that you just let them be abused in this way? And again, we didn't even show the footage that has come out. Those kids were fucking abused and they almost lost their life.
Jody was the one trying to make it seem like, oh, they did that to themselves. We tied them up, but we didn't like make them The journals very much tell that they did not just like tie them up and leave them there. Like, no, even the abuse that they would make them like walk outside and stuff without shoes.
Yeah.
Knowing that, seeing them walk them to the car, I'm like, how about you take their fucking shoes off? Make them walk barefoot on the burning, because it's like 100 degrees in Utah.
Well, that's the thing is like, I felt that when they were asking Ruby like, oh, if you want any snacks or something during the interview, I'm like, they didn't get any fucking snacks.
That's because they do that to gain their trust. So they'll tell them stuff.
I know, but I get fucking annoyed. I'm like, well, you're going to eat 3 meals a day, aren't you, Ruby and Jody? You're going to eat every single day. Like, food and water is not a fucking privilege. And it is also not your ability as a parent to deny a child of that. That's like not an option. So it's just, oh my God, I can't believe this went on for so long. And I'm so glad they got out and that they're all alive, because I think this could have been very different.
Easily. And then they would have, like, justified it.
Oh, 100%.
Well, no, it was the devil.
Like, yeah, and maybe Ruby would have acted, like, a tiny bit shocked. Like, oh, no, like, I thought, you know, we could help them, and it just didn't work out. Like, I'm just glad they get to have a second chance at life. And it just scares me that some people are just born to parents like this. Like, genuinely, they have no other option.
Get them both in therapy so they don't, like, do something weird to the people in prison.
And investigate, like, the fucking Hannahs and Pam and everybody.
Everyone. Fucking get, yeah, everyone in this little inner circle or what. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Anyway, but this was a crazy look at the inside of everything. And honestly, I just can't imagine experiencing that firsthand as a kid and just, like, feeling, like, absolute terror in your own home.
And when you think about the fact that, like, they're being abused for literally existing. Like, they weren't doing anything wrong.
Nothing.
And even with Jody's niece, when they would describe stuff, it was like the goalpost kept moving. It would, yeah, be like, oh, you admit to that? Well, no, but you also did this. So they were never going to be happy.
Yeah, and that's what Kevin, you know, explained that he experienced as well. And yet he left his kids to experience that. Like, I understand brainwash and all that shit, but I'm like, but they're your fucking kids. Like, fight for your life. But anyway, that is where we have to leave you because that got way longer. I told Lily I didn't want to do just an 8 Passengers episode, but how could we not? Like, this was fucking, it was a lot. And I left out a ton. We left out all the journal entries. I mean, the amount of shit. Who decides to just dump this one day and then everybody has it? Like, I can't.
So unimportant. But, like, why do, like, horrible people that do crimes like this, why do they always keep journals?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It feels like they always write shit down. Like, pedophiles, too. I was just watching I'm Quiet on Set.
Yes.
And one of them had, like, total, like, notes.
Something being handy.
Like, I'm a full-blown pedophile.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Similar to, like, I guess, even with, like, serial killers, that they, like, keep, yes, their tokens. Like, why would you keep that? You're so stupid. But, like, they have to because they, like, get off on it.
Yeah, I think that it's all linked, honestly. But anyway, thank you guys for sticking with us. This is pretty much probably the last update on 8 Passengers because, like, what more could there fucking be?
Unless they come out and admit that they were lesbians, then we'll do an update.
Okay, that will be an absolute update. Can you imagine? Are they in the same prison? Didn't I ask you that before? We didn't know.
Yeah, and people said no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense. You know they'd be playing footsie in the courtyard. But anyway, we will leave you with a We Love the Internet. We can't skip it. Even though we're short on time, we just have to show you. No, I think
we do need to leave on a lighter note.
Okay, so I found this a while ago, but it made me laugh when I saw it.
I've never been so embarrassed in my life. I went skydiving in a tube.
I've seen this.
It went so badly. I thought I was having a stroke.
The fact that they videotaped this is diabolical. This poor girl is fighting for her fucking life, and that would be me. Absolutely.
I've done it before.
You've done this?
Yeah, there's a video.
The poor instructor cannot get her under control. Look at...
Okay, but she's not even doing it. Like, that you have a whole class before.
Really? To be honest, that wasn't even the We Love the Internet that I thought it was. The one but I will save that one for next week. But that would be me.
No, but they do, like, a whole class and, like, teach you how to hold your body and stuff and, like, where to hold your hands. And she was not doing it.
But that would also be me, just pure panic with that amount of force hitting your face. Just forget everything you were taught.
Oh my God. Oh, here's one. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Do you love mommy?
No.
Oh. Do you see mommy color?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you love mommy?
No.
Oh. Do you love mommy?
No.
Oh. Do you love mommy?
No.
Oh. Do you love dada?
No.
Do you love doggies?
No.
Did you have fun today?
Yeah.
Are you so excited?
No.
You love mommy?
No.
Oh. Are you my best friend?
No.
Oh. Are you eating noodles?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you have fun today?
Yeah.
What? No, you didn't. Do you love mommy?
No.
Oh.
Her defeated O's after each one. Like, oh.
That might be my daughter. That might actually be footage of Amelie. She is a menace. That was very cute. I loved that. Anyway, my children are losing it downstairs and Lily's got to go. So we're going to leave.
My child is losing it outside. My neighbors are going to get me evicted.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. But if you made it to the end, as always, we really appreciate you guys. And yeah, we will see you on Monday. Bye.
Cheers.